Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. We want to thank Audible.com for supporting our podcast. For a free 30-day trial, go to audible.com/leadership. On today's podcast, we'll begin a two-part conversation on creating a culture of continual improvement. Andy, I'm really excited about our topic for the next couple of podcasts because we've talked about this before. I think all leaders are motivated by the idea of improvement. And we've talked about this, but improvement can actually be a catalyst for creating momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I've talked about for years is what I think is the formula for organizational momentum, which is new, improved, and improving. New and improved and improving. Anything new automatically creates some sort of momentum, even negative momentum. Even a negative event will always create some kind of new momentum. So new and improved, it has to be improved. And then the tricky part is, how do you continue to improve something? How do you keep it improving? So anything that is potentially improving creates momentum within a department, a division, or an entire organization, or an entire industry. So this is a really important topic.
Andy, as you said, you've talked to our staff about this for years. You've cast vision around the idea of continual improvement, and we're focusing on that in these two podcasts. But what is it in your mind that transitions this for a leader from being a leadership principle to actually creating a culture for continual improvement?
Well, that's actually the question, because it's not simply a matter of committing to a concept. It's a matter of wrapping a culture around a concept.
Right.
And as all of our leaders know, you know, you can get up and cast vision, say all kind of cool things, have all kind of cool slogans. But until it becomes part of the culture, it doesn't become part of the personality of the organization. So as much as everybody listening and every leader we've ever met is, you know, committed to continuous improvement, again, how does that, you know, become part of the culture? So here are my observations. Every organization I've ever studied or been around, or when I'm around great leaders and just ask lots and lots of questions, the organizations that really get this right are always doing two things. And I don't know if they're doing it intentionally or it's just intuitively, but this always surfaces. They're always evaluating and they're always incorporating. They're always evaluating and they're always incorporating. They evaluate everything they are doing, and then they're quick to incorporate what other people are doing. They're not too proud to say, hey, it wasn't our idea, so we're not going to do it. Great leaders who want to build great organizations and really want to make things better, they're constantly evaluating what they're doing. They're looking for ways to incorporate the best practices of what other people are doing. When I talked to our staff about this, I said, look, we're looking for the best ideas, not just our best ideas. And I think one of the things that a lot of leaders struggle with is pride of ownership. You know, if we didn't come up with it, if it wasn't our idea, if we didn't originate this, you know, do we want to look like we're copying or borrowing? And I believe in copying, borrowing, making it better, and then, you know, giving it away. Because you're not going to lose by taking somebody else's idea and making it better and giving them credit. Because, again, that idea blooms and takes on the cultural values and basically the personality of your organization. So, big picture, organizations that get this right, they are constantly evaluating, they're constantly incorporating, and that practice or that habit begins with the leader.
Andy, nobody would push back against this idea. Why is it so hard to do?
Well, because improvement assumes change, and people are generally for change until something actually changes. We see this all the time, right? Everybody's all for what, you know, the big presentation, the big vision cast, and then, you know, the devil's in the details, the devil's in my cube on my floor with my department, my division, and suddenly, you know, what was so grand and, you know, wonderful at big picture, again, everybody is for change until something actually changes. And this is why our conversation is so important, because there is a big difference between personal commitment to something and a culture of something. And as long as it is simply a personal commitment to something and doesn't become a culture of something, the change isn't going to actually happen, because it has to, you know, it has to filter down to become part of the culture. And as we've talked about before, every organization has a corporate culture, whether the organization recognizes it or not. And the truth is, some organizational cultures are just improvement adverse because they are change adverse. So the leader that's change adverse, or the culture that's change adverse, is ultimately going to be improvement adverse, which is so not intuitive, because nobody listening or nobody that would, you know, join a conversation like this would say, well, I'm not against improvement. Well, improvement requires change, and the more change-adverse an individual, a leader, or an organization is, unfortunately, how that works out is they become adverse to improvement.
Well, let's just start by defining a term. When you say culture, what are you talking about specifically?
When I think organizational culture, I think the personality of the organization. I think that's just the simple phrase, the personality of the organization. It's the unwritten rules that influence how people act, how they react, how they communicate, their problem-solving style, how they treat people. Do they celebrate people? Do they engage with the corporate mission? I mean, it goes on and on and on. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's the personality of the organization. The other short way of describing a cult organizational culture, it's how things are done here. This is how we do it here. This is how we do it here. It may not be the best way. It may not be the way you did it at your other job, but this is how we do it here. This is part of the organizational culture. And in good organizations, you know, culture is actually created. In not so good organizations, oftentimes culture is inherited. And an inherited culture usually goes below the surface, has massive impact, and nobody knows what's wrong and nobody knows how to fix it. So again, part of the leader's responsibility is to be aware of culture. And as we talked about before, the longer a leader is in an organization, the less aware they are of the culture. And that's one of the tricky things about somebody who's a long-term leader in a division or department or an organization is the longer you're there, the less aware you are of the culture, which, again, makes what we're going to talk about on these two podcasts extremely important. So, Lane, before we jump into the specifics, I want to make sure I've landed this idea. It's what I'm saying is it's not enough for the leader to be committed to continual improvement, because we're going to talk deeply about continual improvement. The organization must be committed. So the bigger challenge for the leader is not to be motivated to make things better. The bigger challenge for the leader is, how do I make this part of the culture?
Before we move on into the conversation about creating culture, I wanted to remind our audience members that Audible is offering a free 30-day trial, and this is the perfect way to listen to many of the books that have shaped our culture. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals.
And as many of you who frequently listen to our podcast, you know that I'm a huge Audible fan, and the great deal they have right now is you can sign up for free and get your first book for free. And then decide if this is something you want to continue to do. But I tell you why I love Audible. Like most leaders, people are constantly recommending books. And so there's the books that you read, and then there's the books that you're not sure you have time to read or that you should read. And for me, Audible is a great way to get a first pass at a book. And then oftentimes I'll end up not only downloading the Audible file, but then purchasing the book. So I'm kind of a double dipper. But Audible is just such a fantastic resource, especially for busy people who want the content but don't have time to sit around and read. So if that sounds interesting, go to audible.com/leadership, and you can start your free 30-day trial today.
All right. Well, back to our topic. Let's talk about creating a culture in an organization. You've taught our staff six steps or principles for creating culture that we've used really in all of our various departments. We've talked about some of these on the podcast before, but not all together as a process. And these steps can be used to establish really any kind of culture, not just continual improvement.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And so for the last few years, I've basically taught this template. And this is a template organizational leaders can use to create any kind of culture. So what I thought we would do for the rest of this podcast is to go through the template, teach the template. The next month when we come back, we're going to take the idea of continual improvement and drop it into this template and ask the question, what does that look like? So essentially, this is the framework. And then next month, we're going to talk about the specific.
So the first step of this template that you've given us is name it.
Yeah, you got to come up with a name or a phrase of what is it we're trying to create in this organization. So next month when we come back, when we say name it, we're going to say continuous improvement. This is of the six parts, this is the easiest one. This is where you go, okay, I know what we need to have in this culture, so I've named it. We want a culture characterized by fill in the blank.
Okay. Well, after naming it then, once we name it, we have to brand it.
Brand it. This is when you got to get some creative people in the room. This is when you got to come up with a phrase or an idea or a sentence or even a term sometimes that makes it stick. You need a slogan. You need a mantra. You know, you need to make it memorable, conversational. So you need to name it or label it, or as I say, brand it. And we've given multiple illustrations of this through the years on our podcast. You know, circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rows. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. You know, there's any time you can take what you want as a cultural value and you can brand it. Not you've named it, you know, so you got this sort of sterile name. But then you've got to come up with something that becomes part of the conversation, part of the terminology of your specific organization. And there are people who are great at this, and there are people who are not great at this. And so this can't be a paragraph. This can't be two sentences. This needs to be that thing, this phrase, that idea, or even an image that when people see it or hear it, they think, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. So you name it, and then you brand it.
Well, and the third step that you've given us is wear it.
Yeah, the third step in the template is wear it. And I used to say model it, but everybody says model it, and that's not a very good brand. So we went to wear it. So leaders, if there's going to be something in our culture that characterizes the culture, the leader must be seen, must be guilty of doing this or, you know, modeling it. But I love the idea of wearing it, because wearing it means at some capacity, at some level, people can see in me what I hope to see in them and hopefully see in the entire organization. Lane, as most of our listeners know, culture is always shaped primarily by how leaders behave, not how leaders believe. Mm. We've all been in meetings where, you know, here's what we're going to do, and there's all kinds of words, and there's all kind of belief and, you know, confidence, you know. But at the end of the day, it's what a leader does that makes all the difference. And so absolutely, this is why wearing the culture or somehow modeling the culture is so important. To the leaders listening, I would just say this. You must be seen doing it. It's not enough to believe it. You must be seen doing it. Do what you want people to do. And ultimately, people will do what you do. And that can be problematic or that can, you know, energize the culture. But at the end of the day, whatever it is that you want to exemplify the culture, somehow the leader has to wear it.
All right. Real quickly, I'm going to go through the first three. Name it, brand it, wear it. And the fourth is teach it.
Yeah. Now, this is where leaders oftentimes kind of back up and say, wait, this is not my thing. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a great presenter. But at some point, you have to teach what you want to be part of the culture. And you have to do it intentionally, and you have to do it consistently. Now, next month, I'm actually going to give you a template for how to teach culture. It's very, very simple. You don't have to be a motivational speaker. You know, you don't have to give a 20-minute presentation. But there are some critical components to teaching culture. And the reason we have to teach it is, you know, we've branded it, we've labeled it, we're trying to model it. People generally think they know what these words mean. Mm. But every once in a while, and we do this here all the time, you have to step back, pull out this, you know, thing that's important to the organization and talk about it for enough time that you are answering the questions and you're getting everybody on the same page, because again, everybody has an idea of what they think you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, you have to stop and teach it. And we'll talk a lot about that next month.
Step five is institutionalize it.
Right. Institutionalize it. You've got to make it part of the rhythm of the organization. That means that whatever this is that is critical to the success of this organization has to be scheduled. You have to create organizational habits around things that you want to characterize culture. So next month when we come back, we're going to talk about what it looks like to institutionalize continual improvement. Because again, this has to be part of culture, and institutionalizing it is, again, it's one of those things we miss because everybody gets busy, but there are some very, very simple ways to do that.
And finally, Andy, you say we have to recognize it.
Yeah, recognize it. When you see something, say something. When you see something, write something. Mm. Again, what's rewarded is repeated, and when we see somebody getting this right, especially when it comes to culture, because it's so squishy, it's so intangible. Again, you know, everybody thinks they know what we're talking about, but when you see somebody who gets it right, you've got to recognize that. Recognize it publicly, recognize it privately. A habit I picked up from somebody else years ago, and Diane, my administrative assistant, helps me with this. When we receive a note or a letter that's bragging on one of our staff members, from a staff member, from somebody outside the organization, or even one of our volunteers, she will print that out, the email or the letter, make a copy of the letter, circle their name, hand it to me. I read the letter, the note, and then I write them a note in the margin, and we send it to them. So they get the note or the email that was sent to me about them. And in the margin, I tie what was said about them to one of our values, one of the things that we want to shape or be evident in our culture. So I'll say, thanks for making it better, or thanks for taking it personally. So again, there's a thousand ways to do this. And when we interviewed Frank Blake, you know, he gave us some extraordinary ideas. If you missed that podcast, you should go back and listen to that one. But anytime we can reach into the organization, across the organization, into a department or somewhere where we don't necessarily show up, this is a symbolic way of saying you're getting it right. I've recognized that. And this is just a part of shaping and in some cases reshaping culture.
So Andy, one last time through, name it, brand it, wear it, teach it, institutionalize it, and recognize it.
Yep.
Well, as we wrap up, Any final thoughts today?
My only comment is don't miss next month's podcast. We're going to come back and take the idea of continual improvement, set it in this template, and I think what you're going to discover next month is, wow, I can use this for a lot of things. So we're going to focus on continuous improvement next month, but anything that's important to your organization, anything that you want to, again, reflect in your culture or be reflected in your culture, this is a template that will get you started.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out the andystanley.com website, where you can find the Leadership Podcast Application Guide to go with today's podcast.